Our scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, the 12th through the 14th verses, and then continuing on into the 17th chapter, verses 1 through the first part of verse 6. And Asa, in the 30th and 9th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, and died in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors, and divers kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art. And they made him a great burning for him. And Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead, and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah, and set garrisons in the land of Judah, and in the cities of Ephraim, and Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established his kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word this morning. Let us pray. Our Father, we come to this point in our service to open our hearts, that we might hear what you have anointed and what you have prepared through your servant. We pray that you be with him as he delivers it, and with us as we receive it. For we ask these things in your name. Amen.
The Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is the subject of the message today. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat. This is the sixth sermon on the subject of music and worship. It's the last sermon on that subject. It's not the last sermon, however, on the subject of worship. We're going to continue that subject for a few more weeks. But today, as we conclude this portion of these sermons, we're going to focus on King Jehoshaphat. What a tribute to say that the Lord was with him. What a tribute. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord could say that to you and to me? I am with you. You know what? If the Lord is with you, you don't have to fear anything. We began this service with Psalm 27. Listen to those words again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Jehoshaphat not only needed to hear those words in Psalm 27, but he needed the verses that follow, because he was about to be tested in a battle. Listen to the verses that follow in Psalm 27. When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. He needed those words. The Lord God was with the godly king Jehoshaphat, the king of the southern kingdom of Judah. However, Jehoshaphat made a big mistake. Isn't that just like us in our flesh? We make big mistakes. Jehoshaphat made a big mistake because he got friendly with the king of the northern kingdom, Ahab. Ahab was a bad king. Ahab was married to a bad woman named Jezebel. And Jehoshaphat got so friendly with Ahab that Jehoshaphat's son, even married the daughter of Jezebel. God was displeased with that. What a shame. When we are weak, when we displease the Lord, we do have something to fear. Because sin will take us straight to hell. Thank God we have a Savior, Jesus Christ. That reminds me of Psalm 51, which we also used this morning in our prayers for confession. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions. That's something we don't want to say. We don't want to shout it. We don't want other people to hear it. We whisper it. I know. I know my transgressions. I know. And my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. When Jehoshaphat was godly, the enemies all around were afraid to attack the people. But when Jehoshaphat displeased the Lord, the enemies became brave, and they decided it was time to attack. And now we come to the scripture passage for this sermon today, which is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the Minuites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you. Did you hear that word? A vast army is coming against you from Edom and from the other side of the sea. It is already at Hazazon Tamar. That is En-Gedi. Now, En-Gedi is the place where David hid from Saul. And En-Gedi is at the northern tip of the Dead Sea. By bus today, it's 30-40 minute drive to En-Gedi. Now, took a little longer in those days, but that's close. That's close. A vast army is close. Chapter 20, verse 3. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. Now, those two things were very common in biblical days, inquiring on the Lord and fasting. Today, we inquire of the Lord. We pray. But today, not many Christians fast. It's not a discipline that we are accustomed to. We fast food, but we don't fast from God. It's a spiritual discipline. Have you ever fasted? I'm not asking you to answer right now, but have you ever fasted? Have you ever thought about fasting and turning to the Lord to inquire of the Lord in a fast so that the Lord can respond? My guess is that most of us have not. And I'm going to leave it there for now. Let's move on with Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat faced a vast army. He inquired of the Lord, and now let's find out what happened beginning in verse 4. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard. You remember we talked about that temple and the new temple and the dedication of the temple last week. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it before ever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when you came from Egypt, when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. I call that the H-squared syndrome, helpless and hopeless. Helpless and hopeless. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a situation that you felt helpless, you thought was hopeless, and you wondered, God, what's going to happen? How many times in your life have you turned to God and said, I have no power to face this. I don't know what to do. Many times, right now, this week, today, this weekend, is that your prayer? Never? If never, you will. Now, here's where this drama, this challenge, gets very interesting. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 13. All the men of Judah, now listen to this, with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. That's significant because in this culture they only counted the men. They didn't count the wives. They didn't count the children. And they didn't count the babies. But here is the only time in the scripture that we read that they counted the men, the wives, the children, and the babies. Now, why do you think that list is there? The full family is listed there. I believe it was because the situation was so helpless and so hopeless, so out of control, that they decided to list the entire family. Continuing, and I love this part. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel. Who was Jahaziel? Did you study about Jahaziel in Sunday school, those of you who had Sunday school lessons? Did you memorize his name? Do you know his name? No, most of us don't. Well, who was he? God tells us. Now I'm going to tell you what God said, and listen carefully. Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. There, now you know who he was. Why do you think God gives us the list of the fathers and the begots in the Bible? I will tell you why. It's so that the printers can have two equal columns at the bottom of the page. Not. There's got to be a message. And here's the message. He was a descendant of Asaph. Asaph was one of the musicians who was appointed by David. Asaph was one of the composers of the music to the Psalms that David wrote. Jahaziel was also one of these characters. He was a musician. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. I like that. Not only that, he was a choir director. I love that. And he did exactly what you would expect a church musician to do. He completely upset and confused everyone. Linger on that one just a moment. Just listen to what this guy said in the midst of a hopeless, helpless situation. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. I can almost hear the people, when they're hearing this musician say that, say, oh, Jahaziel, sit down. We don't need your poems. We don't need your songs. We don't need your feel-good right at this moment. We need somebody that's got a really good head on their shoulders. Send us Obama. No, not. But what did King Jehoshaphat do? Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, bowed down, prostrate before the Lord. Does that sound familiar? And worship God. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped the Lord. That's a key. When it's helpless and hopeless, bow the knee. Worship God. Jehoshaphat recognized that this is a word from Yahweh, and so he did exactly what God said to do. He worshiped. And then it says he slept. I've just come through some stuff, and I couldn't sleep. And I just came through stuff. I wasn't surrounded by a vast army. Have you ever had sleepless nights? Trouble going to sleep? Waking up in the middle of the night and your mind won't turn off because of the helpless, hopeless that's in your life? He slept. He trusted. Now this is where the story gets strange. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Can you remember 20:20? 2 Chronicles 20:20. Early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa, and as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Remember I told you that's the amazing grace of that day? They always sang that everywhere. Now, let's pause a moment. Do you realize what the king just did? He lined up the army to go into battle against another vast army. And then he said, "You Levitical priests who are singers, I want you to go out in front of the army and sing to the Lord as you lead the procession into battle." What kind of a plan is that? Can you imagine Judy Hook gathering together the Covenant Fellowship Choir and saying, "I want you to go to Afghanistan and sing to the Taliban"? How many people would show up for rehearsal? Ludicrous. Here's what happened, verse 22. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. The attacking soldiers got so confused by the choir that they started fighting prematurely one another and killed one another. And the people of God arrived and the enemy was dead. God delivered everything into their hands. And they didn't have to fight. What was their weapon? Praise and worship through singing. God responds to music that's offered to him in praise and worship. God reveals himself through music offered to him in praise and worship. And here is one dramatic moment where he showed it to all the people. Now, verse 24. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder. And they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Bacharach, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the valley of Bacharach today. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah, the wise, the children, the little ones weren't counted, but I bet they were there. All the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and they went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. Now we have the orchestra and the choir. It reminds me of the beginning of Psalm 33. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. Some of you are going to say, you've already said that. I'm going to say it again. God responds to music offered to him in worship. God reveals his power sometimes when music is offered to him in worship. It's not just through prayers. It's through our praise in music. If you have ever felt helpless or hopeless, if you are feeling helpless or hopeless today, let me read to you again. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him and allow him to win your battles for you. Amen? Would you stand with me and sing, Lead On, O King Eternal?